rulers and authority. You know, why is it important to talk about it? Obviously, you can turn on the news and see all kinds of chaos. You see rioting. They call it protesting, but quite frankly, when you're damaging property and hurting people and people are getting killed, it's rioting. Okay, it's not protesting. And we live in a day and age where respect for authority is diminishing quickly. And not just the law enforcement. You don't have to notice it just as a law enforcement officer. You notice it as teachers. You notice it as supervisors wherever you work. People do not like authority. And the reason is people do it, they do what's right in their own eyes now. And it's only going to get worse. Police are portrayed now as the enemy. They're actually teaching this in universities and colleges, secular universities and colleges, teaching that police officers are the reason for some of the terror and the violence. And that was recently done, and I won't get into it, but that was recently said in so many words at a recent Yale Law School graduation, of which our chaplain was there and heard those words and was mortified. And she actually sent an email, a very nice response back to that dean of that law school who made that comment about police being part of the problem of terror and violence in this world, in this country. Cell phones are shoved in our faces as law enforcement officers. They want to record everything that we say and do. I got you. I'm going to get you on something. You're violating my rights. Even on a simple, if you will, a simple traffic stop, cell phone shoved in your face. We have wardens that check people on boats just to do an inspection on a boat, and a cell phone is brought out and shoved right in our face to say, we're recording everything you say and do. That's fine. I'm not afraid of being recorded, but it's that lack of disrespect that becomes a problem. Just to give you a little idea, I'm not a big stat. I don't want to bore you with stats, but I think it's important to give just a couple of stats, just so you know. In 2016, this nation lost 146 police officers killed in the line of duty. Three were a result from an assault, or assaults, 63 from gunfire, one was stabbed, and 13 were killed by vehicular assault. Others obviously were you know, probably heart attack and I think drownings and things like that. In 2017, and remember it's only, what, the middle of September, the end of September, we so far have 95 officers killed in the line of duty, 33 of those killed by gunfire. So what is the Christian's attitude? Now we understand that the world has fallen, the world is sinful. They're lost, spiritually lost. They're doing what the flesh tells them to do. But what about the Christians? What about the church? We have been saved by grace through faith in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit in us. How are Christians to respond to police officers and law enforcement agencies? What about a Christian who is caught in a violation of law? What about the Christians who justify lying to the officer just because in their mind it's a de minimis infraction? You know, I mean, after all I did is roll through a stop sign. I'm going to tell them, well, I actually stopped, and I'll argue. After all, it's only a fly fishing only pond, and I used a worm. What's the big deal? I'm going to lie about it because, quite frankly, I think this is silly. And if I can get away with it, then great. You know, and it's disappointing to see especially Christians refuse to humble themselves and confess their actions when confronted by law enforcement officers. And as a Christian law enforcement officer, and those Christian law enforcement officers are here today, it's very frustrating. More frustrating than someone who is outwardly defiant against God's, anything to do with God. We understand what they're coming from. I mean, as far as we understand, they're lost. But when a Christian does this, it's really hard and hurtful. You know, you may think that, well, that person doesn't know I'm a Christian. I mean, it's, you know, this officer doesn't know that I'm a Christian. I got to tell you, police officers know a lot more about you than you think you do. Then you'd be surprised how many people I work with that say, hey, doesn't that person go to church somewhere? Hey, what's that fish sticker doing on the back? Doesn't that mean I'm a Christian? Hey, I was looking at that person's car and it was parked over here and there's a Bible in it. Is that person a Christian? Ouch. And I have to hear about it. So doesn't every other Christian law enforcement officer. You know, I was interviewing a man several years ago. He was a pastor's kid, a PK, but he was 20-something years old, all right, so he was no juvenile. This man had shot out the window of his truck at a deer. Again, not the crime of the century, but it is a violation of law. We got a call on it. He shot right in front of the person's house, by the way, too, so there were several problems with this. Right in front of the person's person, the guy was sitting on his recliner, and it lifted him out of his recliner because the guy fired right beside his house. He immediately jumped outside, looked, and saw the guy lean across the window with a rifle still at the window of his truck. He confronted the guy. A postmaster down the road from the post office saw the same violation. Those two didn't know each other. He looked out the window when he heard the shot, saw the man in the same position, parked in the same spot. We show up. It was a couple of troopers, and there was several game wardens showed up. We happened to be right in the area. And that man, you think he would tell the truth? No. He'd lie and lie and lie. No, I was way down the road when I fired. Never fired right here. Those guys are all lying. We went round and round. Actually, the other warden interviewed him first and went round and round. By the way, the other warden is not a believer. But he knew this man. He knew his father was a pastor of an evangelical church. After he couldn't get anywhere, and he pulled his hair out, and he said, "Justin, I can't. This guy won't tell the truth." I said, "You know what? Give me a shot with him. I'll get the confession out of him. I'm going to play the brother card on him, Christian brother card." Well, I got him in the truck. I said, "Listen." I said, "You a Christian?" He said, "Yes, I am." I said, "All right, you love Jesus?" "Yes, I do." I said, "Then tell me the truth. What happened?" He told me the same lie he'd been telling all the time. I said, "All right." I said, "I'm a Christian too." I said, "What do you think the Bible says about lying?" He said, "Oh, you shouldn't lie." He said, "In fact, I teach Sunday school to kids." "Perfect." I said, "Didn't you know that you don't lie?" "Well, that's right. I'm not lying." And we went around, and I'm telling you, the evidence was stacked against him. The witnesses saw what they saw. There was no doubt he was lying. In fact, he kept changing his story a little bit, which is an indication of lying. I was so furious with him, I told him, frankly. I said, "You know what?" I said, "You have chosen today to jeopardize the testimony of your Christian witness for getting out of a fine. I'm not taking you to jail. This is a fine. You get a ticket." And he stood right there and folded his arms and held his ground. Nope. I said, "Fair enough." And I happily wrote him a ticket. I'm not usually too happy to write people tickets. I really don't get a big kick out of it. But in certain situations like that one, I wrote him a ticket gladly. He was willing to sacrifice his testimony to get himself out of trouble. And that's disappointing. You know, a lot of people, they're not sorry that they got committed the violation. They're sorry they got caught for the violation. There's a big difference there. All right, we can be sorry that we got caught. "Well, next time I'll do this so I don't get caught. Next time I'll make sure I don't tell that person, because obviously they can't keep their mouth shut." Instead, our attitude should be, "Next time, there won't be a next time. I have learned my lesson. I won't do that again. Be more careful next time." Everyone wants to do what's right in their own eyes. There's lots of justifications for breaking the law. And this morning, I want to look at Romans 13 and see what God says. Not what the media says, not what our neighbors say, what God says. Look at Romans chapter 13, starting at verse 1. "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, and there is no authority except from God. And those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid. For he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be in subjection, not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed." Many of us are familiar with this passage. In fact, I've heard this passage preached a lot, or some. But rarely have I ever heard this passage referred to specifically as respect for law enforcement officers. I've heard it preached as respect the president, which we should, respect our governor, which we should, our legislators, which we should. All that's good and true. And that is all covered here in Romans 13. But listen, it's talking about the one who carries the sword, not in vain. All right? Now, it is not the president of the United States that stops you when you roll through a stop sign, or when you're using worms on a fly fishing only pond, or when you have a short lobster. All right? It's not the governor who does that. It's not even the legislators who stop you and do that. They have a role, yes. But who is the one that carries a weapon and administers on the front lines the initial beginning of justice? It is the law enforcement officer. And I believe that is also very much included in what is spoken here in Romans 13. We see that Paul makes a reference to the sword. As you know, we carry handguns. And the handguns, a lot of people are offended, or not a lot of people, some people are offended, take offense to the handgun. You know, it's too militaristic. It's too, you know, scary. We carry that, obviously, for our own protection and for the protection of those around us, for you. First thing I want to point out here in Romans 13 is that human authority, or human government, civil government, is instituted by God. All right, remember that. It is instituted by God right there in verse 1, at the end of verse 1. All authority. There's no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. It is God's design. It is not man. Man did not come up with government. God did. In fact, when Noah stepped off the ark in Genesis chapter 9, God was the beginning of what God set up for civil government. He said, the first thing he said to Noah when he stepped off the ark and to his family is, if any man sheds the blood of another man, his blood shall be taken. It was capital punishment is what it was. And I'm not going to get into what that is. I have my own view based on the Bible. But that's not where I'm going today. You can research it for yourself and see what the Word of God says. But God, whether you like it or not, God initiated capital punishment right when Noah came off the ark. It was the beginning of civil government. You will govern yourselves. And unfortunately, like most things, most things that God instituted, man has corrupted. I mean, look at marriage. God instituted marriage, man has corrupted it. God instituted family, and man has corrupted it. God instituted even his own church, we find corruption in his church. And certainly government, God instituted government, and we find corruption in government. So we should not be surprised when we see or hear of an officer, a law enforcement officer who's been arrested for some crime. Not be surprised because obviously, yes, corruption exists in all institutions. And we have fortunately, we live in a country where the process is in place to get rid of those people who should not have the badge. And by the way, those instances are so minute and small in number, but the media loves to blow it up and make it seem like all law enforcement is that way, and they're not. Just an incident, and it's addressed and taken care of. You know, I've met people that don't like game wardens simply because they had a bad experience with one back in the 80s when I was just a little kid, probably, you know, first grade or something. And they still don't like, they met one bad game warden, or what they perceive to be a bad interaction with a game warden, oftentimes just a warden doing his job. And now that's it. They don't like game warden. Don't want nothing to do with you. I don't like you. I don't like you type of people. Use people. And I think, how ridiculous. I mean, quite frankly, if I hire a carpenter to come work on my house and, you know, he walks away, takes my money and walks away, doesn't finish the job, am I to believe that all carpenters are that way? Of course not. That one person I'll never hire again. But it doesn't mean that all carpenters are that way. Same with doctors. If you have one bad experience with a doctor, does that mean that all doctors are the same? They all do that? No. So why do we do that with law enforcement? We have one bad interaction, what we perceive to be a bad interaction. And that's it. We we write them all off as they're all the same. They're not. God instituted government. God instituted the idea of law enforcement. And those opposed to submitting to government rule are opposed to the very institution designed by God. And he clearly states in verse 2, those who resist the authority are going to incur judgment. Who resist what God has appointed will incur judgment. Now this comes in all kinds of forms, obviously. In America, it comes in, you know, you end up in jail, you could end up with a fine, or you could end up, if you ignore the law, you may end up hurt or hurting somebody else. So say the law says you can't drive drunk. And you say, well, that's okay, that's not a big deal, I'm going to do it anyway. You may get away with it until you crash and you hurt yourself or somebody else. You will incur judgment in one form or another. The second thing I want to point out is not only is it instituted by God, but law enforcement officers are appointed and approved by God. Verse 2, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. What God has appointed. If you're here today, I know some of the law enforcement officers here today, I want to remind you, you have been appointed. You are ministers. The Bible says later on in chapter 13, you are ministers of God. You are servants of God. You know, we do not have the right to pick and choose what rules and laws we want to enforce, which oftentimes happens. You know, well, I agree with that one. I'll obey that. I won't do drugs. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in driving drunk. I never hurt anybody. I don't want to assault anybody. But you know what? If I want to, if I want to ride my vehicle uninspected for 3 extra months, ain't that big a deal. If I want to keep an extra trout, it's really that big a deal. Who cares? You know, so I got a little short lobster. Yeah, one for the frying pan tonight. One for the supper tonight. Right? What's the big deal? Well, I can tell you from God's word, we do not have that right to pick and choose. Laws are appointed, are approved, are ordained by God, and unless the only exception to this is unless that rule or law directly and clearly violates God's word. Just an example of that. In Acts chapter 5, Peter and his apostles refused the order of the high priest to stop teaching in Jesus' name. Now that order was in direct opposition to Jesus' command to spread the gospel. Peter and the apostles listened to the reply. They said, we must obey God rather than man. Now that is not an excuse to ignore all laws. What he's saying is that specific order that they were given by a man of authority, the high priest, to stop speaking in Jesus' name, they could not do that because that directly violated God's word. That is not a cover-all excuse to ignore government. They were simply saying, that specific law, Mr. High Priest, I cannot do. We cannot do. So you may think that wearing a seatbelt should be an individual's choice, or that a fly fishing only pond should be able to use worms. But you remember, these laws were developed by people in authority. They were developed by legislators, by commissioners, by governor, maybe. All right? They are not to be thrown away or discarded or ignored, or else they will face the consequences. Friends, if any of us thinks that God winks and chuckles as we violate the seemingly de minimis violations, then we'll be in for a real surprise one day when Christ rules on this earth. Psalm 2:9 reminds us that Christ will reign with a rod of iron. When we disobey even the seemingly insignificant laws and ordinances, we disobey God. And disobedience is certainly no laughing matter with God. God expects even the most insignificant laws to be obeyed. Now, what about the officer who is having a bad day? Treats you what you seem to perceive as being poorly. Even if they seem grumpy, maybe a little rude, a little short with you. Even when they gave you a ticket but gave your coworker or friend a warning for the same violation a week ago. Respect goes beyond just the face-to-face encounter. We must still respect their authority. They are ordained by God, servants of God, ministers of God. It means we must refuse to speak negatively about them at work, at home, at school, or wherever we are. I can tell you there are always two sides of a story. As officers, we hear all kinds of stories about other officers. Oh, this officer did this, this, and that, and tell you what happened, and da-da-da. In reality, sometimes I know the other side of the story already, and I let them go on. And what they don't know is that I've already talked to the officer. I know exactly what happened on the other side of the story, and it's much different than the story they're telling. There are always two sides of the story. Oftentimes, our coworkers, our friends, our relatives, our classmates will leave out those details that are going to hurt their case. They're going to tell you just what's going to help them, help you sympathize with them. Keep out those little details of, well, I did actually swear at the officer. Well, I did threaten to hit him. I mean, it's true, I did. Well, no wonder he threw you on the ground. You threatened to punch him in the face. You resisted, he told you to get in handcuffs, and you said no. You said, I'm going to fight you. You left that part out, though, didn't you? You know, there are lots of reasons why, and I just want to point this out on behalf of the law enforcement community, there's lots of reasons why that officer may seem a little grumpy that day, may seem a little cold, standoffish. Maybe, have you considered that maybe they just came from a horrific car crash, motorcycle crash? Maybe they just got in a big fight with somebody that they were fighting for their lives, trying to get this person into handcuffs, waiting for backup to show up, wrestling around the ground, wondering if this is going to be it or not. Finally got that person subdued into handcuffs, straightened up the uniform, took him to jail, and guess what? You don't get to go home after that. Right back out. Get calls backing up. Your coworkers need you. And you go right back, and you go out, and guess what? Someone flies by you at 15 miles an hour over, you stop them, and yes, you may not seem so chipper. So keep that in mind, please. You don't know what they've just gone through. We have to give notifications to family members that have passed away, oftentimes in a tragic way. It's shocking, and we have to be the ones to do that. And oftentimes we try to grab a pastor or a chaplain, but we oftentimes don't have that luxury of having them right nearby. So we go in and we do it. And to listen to a parent cry when you tell them the news of losing a child is just the most horrific thing you can imagine. And then again, after that's done, you go back out and you continue answering calls. Keep that in mind. You don't know what they've just been through. Another thing to keep in mind, officers have family struggles too. They're not immune to all this. They have marriage issues. They have child issues. They have financial issues. Everything that you face, for personal issues, they face as well. So when they may seem a little grumpy that morning, maybe because they're having a hard time at home. Maybe it's just got news that their house is going to be foreclosed on. But again, they've got to put on the uniform, just like the rest of us, and go to work, just like all you go to work. Just got to carry on. We are blessed to live in a country that has a democracy, aren't we? We have a process in place where rules and laws are enacted and retracted. We are blessed to live in a country where each person is entitled to a fair and speedy trial. And there's nothing wrong with using the process, by the way. All right. But however, I want to encourage, especially the Christians here today, if you know what you did is wrong, please, rather than trying to go fight it, try to get off on a technicality, hope the officer doesn't show up that day at Raymond. Maybe what you should do as a responsible Christian, in response to God's word, is just pay the fine. Deal with the consequence of your actions. And certainly, the last thing we should do is ever get involved in an argument with an officer. Even if you disagree, even if you feel like you have been unjustly charged, you deal with the officer in a respectful manner. And there, like I said, there's a process. You utilize that process if you've been unjustly charged. Willful disobedience should never be our response to any law that does not directly contradict God's word. So far, we've seen that human authority is instituted by God. We see that law enforcement officers are appointed by God. And finally, law enforcement officers are God's agent of wrath on the wrongdoer. God agent, God's agent of wrath on the wrongdoer. We see that at the end of verse 4, for he is the servant of God, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. You know, God's wrath will one day be poured out on the earth, the scriptures tell us. But until that time happens, God has appointed men and women as law enforcement officers to act as agents of his wrath. Even in a world that has fallen, God in his mercy provides us this protection. He provides us with agents to pursue those who disobey law in order to maintain order. On the flip side, those who do good and obey the law, they don't have to fear the law enforcement officer. They don't have to look over their shoulder or peek out the shades at night to see if cruiser's coming in the dooryard. They don't have to worry about someone coming to the door with a search warrant. They don't have to hide and turn their face away when they pass a law enforcement officer on the roadway because they know they got arrest warrants out for them or they know they're driving without a license. No. In fact, you can walk up to an officer when you know you're upholding the law, you're doing good. You can walk up to the officer. You can get to know them. You can help them out. Tell them what's going on. You don't have to fear with the police showing up. In fact, you can be encouraged by their presence. As Christians, we should strive to show others, and particularly the law enforcement community, our desire to obey the laws of the land as required of us by God's word. You know, I've heard it said that law enforcement officer has the front row seat to the greatest show on earth. I would disagree. I would say it's not so much a great show. And we're not sitting down. We're not sitting at leisure. All right, we're right in the middle of chaos. We go. When everybody's running away, we are told to go and make order of the chaos. And soldiers, obviously, are the same way, and our veterans that do the same thing. Run towards the chaos and to restore order. So I want to say something really quickly on what to do. Oftentimes a church or people will ask me, well, how can we thank officers? Obviously, we hold an appreciation event like this, which is helpful. You see them. I know a lot of people come up and will say, you know, thank you for your service, and that's very nice. But one of the things I want to point out is this. One way you can thank an officer is to respect their off-duty time. Respect their off-duty time. And I'm going to clarify. Oftentimes, as officers, we're trying to unwind after a busy, hectic day or a week. And then we get to our days off and we just want to unwind. And we don't even want to think, we try to block it out. Don't even want to think about what happened this week sometimes. Sometimes there are funny stuff happens and you do want to share that and laugh about it. But oftentimes there's stuff we just don't want to talk about. And our spouses all know too much this truth. So what happens is I urge you or ask you to please consider, when you meet a police officer off duty, you see them in the grocery store, don't run right up to them and say, hey, listen, there's some awful speeders going by my house. I need you to come down and set up some enforcement in front of my house. Save that for a time when they're actually working, when they're on duty. To run up to them at the grocery store when they're trying to unwind, they're trying to relax and just enjoy their family, enjoy walking through Walmart just to clear their head, you know, or down to Hannaford. Don't be so eager to run up to talk about work. Don't ask about details about the investigation of what's going on with your friend or your relative or something. What's the latest with that when they're off duty? Respect their off-duty time. You know, I have a little quick story. My brother told me one time that he had a guy at church that was, he was a nice guy, by the way. He had no ill intentions. But he would always come up to my brother every service, and he'd say, hey, I saw a trooper had a car pulled over on Wednesday. What was going on with that? Well, you know, I mean, deputies and troopers, they're stopping cars all the time. How is he supposed to know what another trooper's doing on a car stop, you know? So he'd tell him the same thing every Sunday. I don't really know what he was doing. It wasn't me. I don't know who it was. Well, this person would do this every Sunday. So finally, my brother thought of a creative way to get him to stop. And he said to him, he knew this gentleman worked on copiers. That was his job. So the next Sunday, my brother says, hey, listen, I got a question for you. He said, there was a guy at the office working on our copier. What was the deal with that? And of course, the guy looked at him and says, "Well, I have no idea." He says, "And I have no idea what every officer is doing on the road either." And the guy said, "Ah," and it clicked, and it, the point was well taken, all right? So just respect their off-duty time. You know, another thing you can do is remember this. As law enforcement officers, oftentimes our identity becomes what we do for work. And that's true with any job, but especially with law enforcement. People look at us and they see deputy sheriff, they see state trooper, they see game warden. Remember, there's much more to us than just that. So much more. We have hobbies. We have interests. We come from backgrounds, of a variety of backgrounds. You know, I had the privilege of being a part of training over 400 law enforcement officers as I served as a member of the cadre staff at the Basic Law Enforcement Training Program in Vassarboro. And I can tell you, from getting to know over these 400 individuals that were cadets at the time, now law enforcement officers, they come from a wide variety of backgrounds. Very interesting people. Degrees from, what you can even imagine the different degrees they have. I'm not talking law enforcement. I mean like just a variety of degrees. Engineering, law degrees, teaching degrees, all kinds of. They're retired teachers. They're engineers, former engineers. They're, of course, a lot of veterans. They come from, and they have a wide variety of talents and gifts. Musical instruments they play is just amazing. Get to know them. You know, I know an officer that was a former construction worker, one that used to be work for a carpenter, one that's a retired helicopter pilot with the Maine Army Guard, one that used to work at a transfer station before they got into law enforcement. In fact, I'll tell you that each of those jobs were done by people, officers right in this room. You figure out which one is which. We come from a wide variety, and we have a lot of interests. Get to know them for who they are, not just what they do. And I would like to take this time to also thank Booth Bay Baptist Church. We've been coming here for quite some time now, and I have never, and I'll say this to the officers here, just so they understand, and to the visitors and everything, that I have never felt like you have disrespected my time. You've always respected my private life. Or my, I should say, you respected my, what I do for work. You've never put me in a position to get you out of something. Nobody's ever done that. You've always supported me as a warden. But more importantly, you've always supported me as Justin, as a member of this church. You've supported my family the nights I've been out working and can't be home. The church is always watching out for my family. This is a place where I come to worship God and do not have to be anxious about people talking about work or bombarding me with work. And I don't, by the way, church, I do not mind at all to come up and ask me questions about clarifications on law. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But I've respected this church for the way they treat me, the way they respect law enforcement. And to the officers in this room, I want to say that I hope this passage of Scripture reminds you of the importance of the job you do, that you are God-ordained, whether you like it or not. For right now, that's what God has you doing, and we need to do it well. You are appointed by God. You are servants of His justice. And you remember, God hates injustice. Isaiah 59:15 clearly states that God absolutely is disgusted with those who will not stand for justice. And Matthew 24 reminds us that lawlessness will be increased in the end of days. We must stand firm as God's servants of justice and as agents of wrath. But there is good news. For those of you who don't know, there is good news. It's called the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not all there is. God is coming back. Jesus Christ is coming back to set up His kingdom on earth. And where He will rule. And as I said earlier, He will rule with a rod of iron. He will be the perfect judge, the perfect enforcer of His laws. He will be gracious, merciful. He's always just. There is no corruption in Him. You know, people say there's many ways to God. I want to say right now that there's not. There is one way to God. Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Yet He also reminds us that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The world in its current state is not all there is. God has promised that those who believe in Jesus, who was beaten and crucified and died for our sins, is coming again victorious over death. And there will be no more riots in the streets at that time. No more frivolous lawsuits against us. No more assaults on us. In fact, we won't have a job. Praise God. I think at that time I'm going to have to pick up some carpentry skills or maybe go work for Stan as a stern man or something. I don't know. I got to find something else to do. When God comes back on earth, there's no need for law enforcement. Praise God. The King of the universe will rule over us, and there is no corruption in him. He will rule perfectly, justly, with all wisdom and knowledge. Before I close in prayer, I want to take this time to thank the members of Booth Bay, the people of Booth Bay Baptist Church, for not only their support of me and the law enforcement community, but even today, for the many hands that went into putting this event together, for the decorations, for the food, and for the just many ways you've helped out. Specifically, I want to point out Sean and Sarah. I don't know if Sarah's in the back. Sean was here. He's probably outside cooking or something. Thank you so much for your help. They're good friends of ours. They fully support us and have put a lot of hard hours of work into this. So thank you very much. We invite you to stay for some food, refreshments, and just join us on this beautiful day out here in the parking lot. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time where we can look at your word, we thank you for your word. It shows us clearly how we are to respond to law enforcement officers, how we are to respond to laws of the government. We see, Lord, that government is your idea. It's instituted by you. And though, Lord, yes, there is some corruption in our government, Lord God, we know that you are still sovereign and you are still working through government. You're working through law enforcement officers to uphold justice. God, we thank you for these men and women in uniform, that though they could have chosen any other profession and made more money and had a much better schedule and not seen so many horrors of injustice, they chose to do this career, Father. We thank you for them. We ask your blessing upon them. And we ask your blessing upon the food that we are about to eat. Just thank you for the many volunteers, the many hands that have helped put this event together. I hope, Lord, that you are honored today, that you were pleased with our worship today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.